بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening we started this chapter in Riyadus Salihin the chapter which Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi titled باب الوصية بالنساء basically wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the ahadith mentioned specifically التوصية بالنساء treating women with goodness with kindness All of those ahadith have been collected, or many of those ahadith have been collected by Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in this chapter. The rights that a wife has upon her husband, the rights that a husband has to give his wife, these rights have been mentioned inside of this chapter. So last week we covered a few ahadith wherein the discussion was mainly around the creation of man and the creation of woman. And in those ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the creation of woman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her from a rib. And now how this works exactly, only Allah ta'ala knows best. Some ulama have mentioned that after the Prophet Adam alayhi wasallam was created, thereafter from the rib of Sayyidina Adam alayhi wasallam, his wife Hawa was created. Others have mentioned even before the creation of Adam alayhi wasallam, from the clay that would be used to form the rib of Adam alayhi wasallam, that same clay was used to form the personage and the being of Sayyidina Hawa alayhi salam. But there are differences of opinion, but then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what he meant by that by saying that the rib is very curved. And he's saying if you try to straighten the rib, then you will break it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advising the Sahaba saying that look, if you notice within your wife any deficiency, any fault, any problem, every man and woman has faults, every single human being has faults. But if a man notices inside of his wife a fault, if a wife notices inside of her husband a fault, and she mentions it to him, it's easier for the husband to accept his fault and it's easier for him to try and rectify it. But when a man notices a fault inside of his wife and he brings it up, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he will not be able to fix the fault. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the same way you cannot fix the rib, you have to accept that it will be the way Allah has created it. Similarly, you have to accept that your wife, the way she is, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her. As long as she is not disobedient to you, as long as she fulfills your rights to the best of her ability, a person should have patience and a person should live with each other in harmony. Anyway, many of the hadith were mentioned. We'll carry on this chapter. This next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who mentions, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَفْرَكْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرٌ SubhanAllah, this beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi in his sahih, that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْرَكْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً A mu'min, someone who believes in Allah and the last day, they should not become angry with a mu'mina, meaning with their wives, their wives who are believers, they should not become angry with them. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, in kariha minha khuluqan, if he sees a deficiency in one of her characteristics, if he finds one of her characteristics to be flawed, everybody has flaws, and generally it's the same flaws you'll always notice. So even if it's your spouse, you've been living with them for so long, you'll know exactly what her fault is. And she will make that fault again and again because it's her character flaw. Similarly, you'll have your character flaws. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if you notice a character flaw inside of her, a problem with her character, her akhlaq, then, and this thing makes you angry, you will find another thing which will please you, which will make you happy. So Rasulullah is saying everybody has their share of deficiencies, weaknesses, and everybody has their share of strengths as well. So if you notice something which puts you off, which makes you angry, don't focus on that. Turn your gaze towards something which pleases you. something which is a positive quality inside of her. And that's the way we need to generally live life anyway. That if I see someone, every single person, no person will you ever find except for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had all of the good qualities. Everybody has some good qualities and some bad ones. And as long as a person knows if they have any bad qualities, they try and rectify them. Sometimes a bad quality is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. Now if you have something which Allah is displeased with, for example someone lies all the time. Now this is a bad quality which Allah is displeased with. Now a person needs to work to get rid of that bad quality themselves. But sometimes it could be something which is not necessarily something which is haram. But it's something that makes other people uncomfortable. It's something that other people do not like. But it's not something that makes Allah angry. So now I have to live with someone who maybe does something which makes others uncomfortable or is not, you know, is not the normal way of doing things. So I need to realize or understand that they are not doing something which is making Allah angry. This is a natural thing which is inside of them. I need to have sabr with that. I need to have patience with that. I need to look at all the positive qualities which are inside of them. And that's how a person has a harmonious and a happy marriage. And the next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira Sayyidina Amr ibn al-Ahwas al-Jushami radiyallahu anhu. He mentions that annahu sami'a an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi hajjatil wada'i. He heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam making the speech at the time of hajjatul wada'. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his final hajj and then he made a famous speech on the day of Arafah, this is known as the speech of hajjatul wada'. So he mentions that ba'da an hamida Allah ta'ala wa athna alayhi wa dhakara wa wa'adha, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started his speech by praising Allah and remembering him and mentioning him and advising the sahaba, thumma qal, thereafter he Rasulullah, because he gave many important and precious advices at the time of Hajjatul Wada', so this sahabi is bringing one specific advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave at Hajjatul Wada'. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala wastawsu bin nisa'i khayran." So this word in Arabic, "ala," is used to draw attention. Ala. So you see, even in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses this. In the Hadith, many times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses this to draw people's attention. Ala, meaning pay attention. I'm about to say something very important. Ala wastawsu bin nisa'i khayran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I urge you to treat your wives with kindness, with goodness. فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ And subhanAllah, look at the description now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives. فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ عَوَانٍ عِنْدَكُمْ Rasulullah describes the wives of a person, the wife of a person, by saying, it's as if your wives are in the position of a slave. Meaning they are with you till you do not give them talaq. They have to be with you. So it's as if they are slaves to you. They are not your slaves, but it's as if they are in that position where they are locked to you. Till you do not give them talaq, they are with you. So Rasulullah is saying, treat them with kindness, treat them with goodness. لَيْسَ تَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ However, thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds the sahaba, remember, you do not possess your wife. She is not your possession. That you do not own anything from her. Meaning that you are supposed to benefit from your wife and your wife is supposed to benefit from you. But you do not own her. You cannot mistreat her. You cannot abuse her. You cannot hit her. Right? إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ Unless you notice in your wife a serious deficiency. فَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ A clear, open problem. So فَاحِشَة Some ulama have said, unless your wife... Na'udhu billah goes towards zina or something like this. Some ulama have mentioned it's such a bad character flaw which makes her, pushes her towards haram. In that case, you as a husband can try and rectify her. As long as she's not doing anything haram. As long as she's not doing anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should always treat her with kindness. فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا فَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that if your wife does something which is a clear sin, or she is so disobedient to you that it's difficult to live with her, or she goes towards some kind of haram action, then فَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you find it difficult to live with her, and she is causing you serious problems, then فَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ Then separate your bedding from her. And then he says, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ And then permission has been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hit her without leaving any marks. Now this is a very controversial topic, right? Because if you say something like this nowadays, people automatically raise the rights of a woman. Remember this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us according to the guidance of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, mentions, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. Now this verse, unfortunately, many people bring this and use this as a criticism against Islam, against the Quran, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the teachings of Islam. If you look two verses before this ayat is ayat number 34, I think, of Surah An-Nisa. If you look two ayahs before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. In the time, you know, sometimes nowadays we have feminists, and we have Muslim feminists, they're worse than normal feminists, right? Muslim feminists, who call themselves Muslim, but at the same time they say, we will dictate how we want our husband to treat us. Not Allah, not the Quran, and not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times they bring these discussions, and they think we're the first people to raise these objections. Why did Allah say this? Why did Allah say that? Why did? For example, a simple question that many times gets asked, quite a common question, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it necessary, or why did Allah ta'ala give a man twice the right of a woman when it comes to mirath, inheritance? Allah ta'ala mentions, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. A man will get double the inheritance that a woman gets. People raise these questions. And when they raise these questions, they think they're very intelligent, and it's the first time these questions are being asked. Remember, these questions were asked by the sahabiyat. The companions, the female companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked these same questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All majority of these questions that were asked, because the sahabiyat, they used to sit in front of Rasulullah. Basically, whenever Allah ta'ala would reveal an ayat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go and address all of the sahaba, the men and the women, and he would tell them all what Allah has revealed. And he would not sugarcoat anything, he would not hide anything. So the sahabiyat, the female sahaba, they would straight away say, Ya Rasulullah, why is it like this? So this ayah that I just mentioned, وَلَا تَتَمَنُّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِبَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, Imam Razi rahmatullahi mentions in his tafsir that the reason why this ayah was revealed was for a few reasons. One of the reasons, according to Imam Mujahid, was that one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is it fair that the men, they get to go in jihad? And there are so many a hadith written about the virtues of going in the path of Allah in jihad. How is it fair that they get to go and we don't get to go? And she also mentioned, how is it fair that they get double the inheritance and we do not get the same amount? So they say because of this ayah was revealed. Another opinion has been given that some of the men actually said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, in this world Allah has said that men get double the inheritance of women. Does that mean in the akhirat we have double the status of women as well? So a man asked this question. Many narrations have been mentioned differently, but accordingly, many narrations have mentioned that women came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were asking about this inheritance. Ya Rasulullah, why is inheritance being a proportion like this, that we get one amount and men get double this amount? So then Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. They were pious, believing Muslims. The Sahaba, they did not object to the Quran in the way that I do not believe in it or I've got doubt in it. They were just asking for themselves, Ya Rasulullah, how does this work? How does it work that they get double, we get single? Some of the Sahabiyah started to say, Ya Rasulullah, shouldn't it be the other way around that we are weaker? You know, women ask these days and they think it's the first time they're asking them. The Sahabiyah asked this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are weaker, we are more in need. Should we not be getting double, and should the men not be getting a single portion? So Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, that if Allah has dictated something for men, and Allah has dictated something for women, then we should not endeavor, or we should not want to get the favor which Allah has given to the other person. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا, do not hope. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِبَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah has favored the men, and Allah has favored the women. The women should not want or that which Allah has favored the men with, and the men should not want that which Allah has favored the women with. Allah has favored everybody accordingly. So Sahabiya, one of the female Sahaba, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, it makes sense how the men have been favored. The mirath example, the fact that they can fight in the path of Allah, and many of the examples, men are being favored. How have we been favored? How have we been favored in the dunya?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a beautiful hadith. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi mentioned it in his Musnad, and it's sahih, authentic hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the women have been favored in a way that he mentioned that whenever a woman, he said, whenever a woman is going through her pregnancy, so however long her pregnancy lasts, during the entire period of time that she goes through pregnancy and she's carrying the baby in her womb, the entire period of time she gets the reward as if she is fasting and as if she is standing in prayer. The entire period, doesn't matter what she is doing, just because she is going through this difficulty of pregnancy, she is getting the reward as if she is in the state of fasting and as if she is standing in salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sa'im al-qa'im. And then Rasulullah further mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this very same hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this very same hadith mentioned, and with every pang, with every sharp pang of pain that the woman goes through during labor, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gets mentioned, she gets so much reward that none of you can imagine. None of you can. Normally Rasulullah says they get 70 reward, 700 reward, 1,000 reward, 1,000,000 reward. Rasulullah has mentioned this in hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you read this certain dua, you get 1,000,000 rewards. 1,000,000 of your gunas are forgiven, sins are forgiven. 1,000,000 of your statuses in Jannah is elevated. But he said about the woman, when she goes through one pang of labor pain, the amount of reward she gets, nobody can imagine. Nobody can calculate. One pang of labor pain. Imagine all of the different stages of labor. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and then after when Allah ta'ala has blessed her with a child, and she suckles this child, and she breastfeeds this child, then with each sip of milk the child draws, with each sip of milk that the child draws from his mother, she gets the reward as if she has saved the life of a human being. With each sip of milk that the child draws from his or her mother, the mother gets the reward as if she has saved the life of a human being. So imagine if she's feeding her child for 1 year, 1.5 years, 2 years. Look how much reward. That's why we can take the name of Allah and we can say the amount of reward a woman can get after becoming a mother, she cannot get that reward before she becomes a mother. After becoming a mother, all of the doors of reward open up for her. All of the doors of ajar and thawab, Allah opens up for her. Women many times think, oh child, difficulty, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other thing. I could do so much ibadat, so much Quran tilawat, so many things before Allah blessed me with a child. But the reality is all of this difficulty she is going through, she is earning multiple times more reward than what she could have earned with all her ibadat and worship. But what's very important is she has to have the intention. And she has to hope for this reward from Allah. Our people, we lose out on reward because we do not have what Rasulullah called ihtisab. Ihtisab. One is that a person does an action, and the second thing is ihtisab. Ihtisab means that when I do an action, I have hope that Allah will reward me. If I do not have ihtisab, Allah Ta'ala doesn't have to reward me. So it's very important that when our sisters are going through this stage or these phases, they have ihtisab, they hope in reward from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will give them so much reward that a man cannot match this reward with his worship. Anyway, so I'm continuing this hadith. I'm going to stop there inshallah, and then I'm going to carry on from this point next week. وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ. Or should I finish up? I'll wrap up, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.